Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Overcome by the presence of God? Ever in that place where you just overcome by His goodness and His grace? Do you consider the grace of God daily and just how great a gift it is? The grace, that undeserved favor of God, and how He just loves us. Our Abba Father is so good. And I just encourage you this morning to be overcome by God's presence in your life and just how much He wants to continue to reveal His goodness to you, that you might walk in that joy, in the joy of the Lord, regardless of situation and circumstance. It's just constantly overwhelming, that grace and mercy of God. And that's not have anything to do with the message. Actually, if you have your bulletins, you can open it up and you can see that there is no title to the message this morning, and therefore my name is there, and so that's the message. I'm just going to sit right back down. No verses, so. But we're going to take a look at the book of Ephesians today. Ephesians, you can go ahead and turn there to the book of Ephesians. And I'm just going to open us up in a word of prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above every other name, we thank You today for Your goodness. We thank You for that grace that You have poured out to us. God, we know we are not saved by grace, but by grace, but nothing else. Your mercy is a gift to us. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for dwelling inside of us, for being our counselor, for being our guide, for being the one who leads us into right ways. And I just pray this morning that as we open Your word, You would speak through me and You would speak to us what You would have us to hear today. God, that hearts would be changed. God, that we would take steps towards You this morning. And so we just invite You to continue to move through Your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I got a quick question for you this morning. Has anyone ever done a house renovation? Anyone? Probably most people have. And if not done a house renovation, you've probably at least seen a house being renovated or built. And, you know, usually, Pastor Nick was talking earlier about ripping up a deck. That stuff usually goes fast. You don't need a lot of skill to do it. It's just you go in and you knock it out. Or have you ever seen a house frame maybe around your block or something? They were building a house and the framing goes up real fast. And then months later, they're still working on the house. Because the framing or the demo, that's all the quick stuff. And when we come to Christ, you know, sometimes the major things in our life are the things that go kind of quick. They get removed quickly. But then there's the finish work. Any of you guys ever had trim work done in your house? Or the finish work is always what takes the most time. It's always what we're waiting on. I know for myself, there's always that piece of trim that I still have to hang that just you look at and you're like, I really got to do that piece. But because it takes time to do those things. And as believers, I want to encourage you or challenge you, however you want to look, that God, we sing that first, God is faithful to complete the work He has started. And for many of us, we've been in Christ for countless years, decades even for some of us, and there's still so many pieces of trim that God wants to finish off. But sometimes we're just content. We're saying, you know, God, I'm good. You know, I've been with You for so long. I don't really need much tweaking. The trim work is, you know, I don't really need that. But God wants to continually refine us. He wants to continually do the finish work. But it takes time, but we have to be willing to let Him do those things. So today we're going to look at some trim work in the Word of God, of an area I believe God is, I know, speaking to me as I prepared this message. This message is very much for me, as it is for hopefully, I think, all of us, if not all of us. And you might be sitting here today, maybe there's one person here today, and they're like, man, I'm still need the demo. What is it? And God's willing to come in and demolish your life and to help you remove, as we just took communion, right? The blood of Christ we sang about. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can bring you out of your mess but Christ. And you can't, I hear this oftentimes, people say, well, I got to get my life together first, and then I will come to God. No, no, no. You need Jesus first so he can help you get out of your mess. And maybe you're here today, maybe there's that one person today, and you're like, turn to Jesus, and he will begin that work. He'll do the demo, he'll do the framing, and then he'll begin the trim work. So with that said, if you turn to the book of Ephesians, we're going to be in chapter 4 today, to give you a quick little background on what's going on here. You know, our brother Paul is writing to us, he's writing to the churches there. His heart in this, as more Gentiles, so non-Jewish people were coming to Christ, there was some jealousy going on amongst the Jews, saying, like, who are these guys? Why are they able to taste in the goodness of us? So you always get this division, right? Once you add one more person to your mix, there's going to be some kind of competition and division. And so this was beginning to happen amongst the church, amongst the believers. And so Paul's addressing lots of issues in this letter. He's just encouraging the body to embrace one another as believers, to love one another. And as he goes on in the book, he talks about salvation and, again, it being a gift of God by grace. He's establishing foundations in this letter. And then towards the end of the book, he goes into some practical things. Basically, this is how you ought to live. If you've experienced the grace of God, if you've accepted Christ, well, let's get down to that trim work, as we said earlier, and take a look. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And I recently took some kids. Thank you guys for anyone who helped. We're either praying or gave towards kids who went to camp. We had 23 kids up at camp this summer, and God really moved amongst our kids, and we appreciate that. And towards one of the last days, we get together and just see what God's doing, and we're having a little debriefing time. And I said, you know, what's going on? Who had something that God did this week? And we were going around the room. Not many kids spoke up. But one kid, he started off saying, you know, when I go back home, I really want to change how I talk to other people because, you know, this is his statement to me. He says, you know, because words speak louder than actions. And my initial response was to be like, you got that wrong. You got that saying wrong. It's actions speak louder than words, right? But I was thankful the Holy Spirit stopped me for a minute and said, don't discourage him. That's what he was on his heart, that words speak louder than actions. And it stuck with me. And I began to chew on that a little bit and say, you know, there's a lot of truth to that statement, right? You've all heard the expression, right? Actions speak louder than words. But I want to take a look this morning when words speak louder than actions. So if you will, turn with me, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in
verse 29. I'm going to read through chapter 5, verse 1, and then we will continue. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. It'll be similar depending on what you have. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And so we have this. There's so much, if you haven't read Ephesians in a while and you want to get refined a little bit, I encourage you to do so, to read through the book of Ephesians. God will really mess you up or you'll run away, one or the other. But his desire is to do that refinement. And this verse has been ringing in my ears for many, many years. In college, it was a big verse amongst my friends because the tongue, as James speaks often, is very powerful, right? And in the tongue, we have the power to build up or to break down. And Paul addresses this. He says, let no corrupt talk. Other translations say, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So let's start there. And we've done this other times when I speak, but I like to just think and put things in boxes sometimes and just take that inventory of the percentage of the words that flow from your mouth. How much of them would you consider unwholesome? And your first reaction might be like, well, I don't really curse. I don't tell dirty jokes. The things I speak about are not really bad, right? But I'm going to hit you with one that the Holy Spirit hit me with about 20 years ago, sarcasm. Sarcastic people in the room this morning? Okay, I was like the king of sarcasm. Okay? And a sarcasm might have its place very, very rarely. But what God began to deal with me and show me is like, do not let no unwholesome, no corrupt talk, anything that's negative, that has the ability to bring down, and really that's what sarcasm is. It's a light, fun way of knocking somebody down. And this one, this verse just hit me. There's no exception to the rule. It's not like, hey, when you feel like it, you can knock that brother down. Right? Let no unwholesome talk. No corrupt talk. And that word corrupt there, I'm going to give us some definitions of the real meanings behind these words in the Greek and stuff. That word corrupt means bad, rotten, unfit for use, putrid, of poor quality. And the one that really stood out to me was just unfit for use. So let no words come out of your mouth that are unfit for use. That's now again, examine what you hear in your own home. What you hear maybe your children speak. Maybe what you speak yourself to your spouse or to your children. The words that flow from our mouths, are they casting division amongst our house? Are we bringing our children down with our words? And not just our words, but the one for me is tone. The tone of my voice. And this is the one God's really, because I'm constantly saying to my kids in a sharp tone. So what does that make me? And my kids remind me sometimes, Dad, you're being a hypocrite. Right? And by God's grace, I receive that sometimes, and I say, you know, you're right. And God's really been dealing with me this last week or two about my words, about my tone, and the harshness of my tone at times. There's never a place for it. There's never a place for me to be harsh with my kids. Why? Because the scripture says, let no corrupt talk come from your mouth. And so let's start with that. That's the spank, if you will. Or the encouragement, the challenge. God's calling us to something higher. That's what I love about the Lord is He's always calling us higher. That's the sanctification process. That's the work of God. Again, that's the trim work. He's always calling us higher. I'll give you a quick little illustration. I was going to bring it in, but I didn't. So it starts, let no corrupt talk come from your mouth, but only that which is beneficial for building others up. All right? I don't know how many of you kids, I don't really know if people do paper mache anymore. Anyone do paper mache when they were a kid? You know, you get the strips of newspaper, right? Imagine with me, ready? Strips of newspaper and that gooky plaster Paris, whatever you use. You blow the balloon up. You got the bucket of water, right? Painstaking process. Around the balloon, right? And after you do that for an hour and a half, then you got to sit there and let it dry for 2 days so it really cures. And then you're like, whoa, that's really cool, right? And the time it took to make this paper mache thing, you pop the balloon, and then you have this nice little hard shell. Maybe you make a pinata out of it, right? Maybe that you put a little hole, put some candy in there, right? But it took work to make that pinata, right? It took a lot of time. And words, I find, you know, when people have had rough pasts, or maybe not rough pasts. It takes a while for your words, your encouraging words to your life-giving, to really begin to make a difference in them. Because they've faced a life of adversity, a life of negativity. And that stuff really sticks. I can tell you story after story of just the kids I work with, and I'll tell you one or two without trying to, without hopefully not getting choked up, but maybe I will. But one of my young men, this is one of my big kids, all these kids I work with seem to be huge. I don't know what it is. They're all like 6'3 and 6'4. I always feel safe around them. I don't know what's in the water in the community over there, but anyway. This young man, he's about 6'3", probably 225 pounds, big teddy bear of a guy, and comes from a tough house, single mom, 7-8 kids, does her best. I mean, she really tries her best, but she's probably on edge all the time because she's got all the stress in her house, you know. And he comes to me a couple weeks ago, and I've known him since he's a little guy. He's 17 now, and he comes to me upset. He's like, Mike, you know, Mom's just, they had a little fight, a little dispute, and she's like, you know, you're never going to graduate, and you're not going to ever get a job, you're not going to amount to anything, and just completely tearing him down. And I think just out of frustration and anger, because I know the mom, and I know she loves her kid, but it just broke this kid. And I can imagine how often he's heard that in his life. But he's like, you know, I'm like, you're going to make it, man. You know you're going to graduate. He's like, I know I'm going to graduate. And actually, on a side note, I got him and two other kids who are, they're on their way to Bible college, prayerfully, next year. Keep them in prayer. They went up to camp, and they came back. They're like, we're going to Bible college. That's all they talk about. I've seen them every day this week. When are we going back up? When are we going back up to Word of Life? The three of them are going to go to Bible college together by God's grace. But this young man has faced this adversity with words. And for every word I try to build him up with, he's got those in his memory. So the call is to build up, right? Let, as believers in Christ, now we expect the world to talk a certain way. Why wouldn't they, right? Why wouldn't that there be profanity at work amongst the unbeliever? Why wouldn't there be sarcasm? Why wouldn't there be negativity amongst those who don't have Christ? But within the body of Christ, we shouldn't find it, right? We are set apart, are we not? Aliens, strangers. We should walk different and sound different. And that's what I believe Paul is doing here. He encourages us. As believers in Christ, you have, ready for this? The words of life. Right? If you have the Spirit of God living inside you, you and I possess life. And that life can flow from our tongues. When we see people, when we greet people, to our own children, to our own spouses, to our own family members, right? Jesus even said, love your enemies. Bless those who mistreat you. Pray for, how do you bless somebody? Usually you can do it actively, but it's usually with your lips when you bless somebody. And so what an opportunity we have. What a privilege we have to just speak life. Have you thought about yourself as a fountain of life? Do rivers of living water flow out of your mouth? In your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood? Do people know you as a person who speaks life or one who tears down? Man, and I hope by God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit that I would be one who brings life to my own kids. That my kids wouldn't see me doing it to all these kids outside my home, and then I come in and I'm somebody else. Oh, God, help me from that. To be someone different out there and then someone different in my home. Across the board, seasoned with grace. Let no corrupt talk come from your mouth, but only that which is beneficial for building others up. Or that we get, that's where we get that word edify. Only that which is for edifying or building up. And that word there, this is pretty cool. I like the definition of this. It says, the promotion of spiritual growth. That's what edify means. That word build up there, that's what it means. The promotion of spiritual growth. Now again, Paul's writing to the believer here. So this is the challenge. Do you, when you walk in here on Sunday, do you promote one another to spiritual growth? Is that your goal when you wake up Sunday morning and you get up and you say, it's church, and I can't wait to promote my brother or my sister to spiritual growth? And you might say, no, never thought about that. Why not? Maybe next Sunday is that, maybe this afternoon when we fellowship, it's time to start. Why? Because that's what we're called to do, very clearly. But only such is good for building up as fits the occasion. Promote spiritual growth. Is anyone here in this room that could not use a word of encouragement at any given time? I don't think so. I've never met a person that didn't receive encouragement, right? And again, where that means, where that means to the person sitting next to you every single week, who you may not even know their name. Maybe you know where they work, or you know that they cut their grass on Saturday morning, right? But do you really know what's going on with them? What a blessing we have in this thing we call the body of Christ. To really be a part of each other's life. That's what we're called to do. Not just to come in this door like it's just another thing, right? But to promote each other with our words. And not everybody has that standout gift of encouragement. You know those people who just, everything they say is encouraging and you're like, wow. But we can emulate that, right? That there should be a measure of encouragement upon our lips. Always. And the thing I love about the Word of God is it never leaves you empty or hanging. It's never like, well, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and just figure out what to do instead of it. Right? You come across people who are like, well, what do I do now? I always gambled and I drank and what do I do now? Right? There's always replacement. The Word of God always gives us the replacement. So let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Well, that's like 80% of my dialect. Like that's my community. I guess I'll become a mute. Right? If you take that out of my vocabulary, out of my daily living, people will be, what happened? Did he, laryngitis? Right? No, but God says, but instead, replace it with words that will build up. I want you to think real quick right now. I want to ask the Lord to give you one person, whether it be a coworker or a family member or a neighbor, that you know could use that word. Think for a minute. I don't believe the Holy Spirit's going to drop a name in your mind and in your heart. They just need to be built up because they've been torn down. And back to my paper mache thing for a minute, right? That took time, painstaking time, right? But then you hang it up for the pinata. And what happens? Take little Billy, spin him around with the stick and the bat, and one whack, right? Already dented. And within a matter of seconds, that thing's destroyed and torn down. It doesn't take long to tear down with the tongue. It doesn't take, one word can do it. And you don't even know the lasting effect that might have on an individual. And we probably can all attest to words that were spoken to us. Maybe it was just in passing. Maybe it was in sarcasm, but you took it to heart. And you've carried that your whole life. You know, I want to say it real quick. God wants to deliver you from that. Even this morning, God wants to speak a word of healing to that. Because that was not His heart for you. And He wants to take that thing you've been holding on to, that word you've carried your whole life. Leave it here today. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Leave it at the cross and start fresh. Be removed from that weight you've carried your whole life. So let us be people who build up. Let's move on here. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And so what is the motivation? What's the motivation for me to watch what I say? What should motivate me to keep me in a place that I would allow no negative talk to come out of my mouth, but only that which is beneficial to build somebody up, to promote spiritual growth? The fear of God. The fear of God is a message that could be a message for months. It's something we need to hear. But do you fear the Lord? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Without the fear of God, this is my little side message right now, right? If you do not have the fear of the Lord in you, then you will not be able to apply the Scripture to your life. You need to fear God in order for God's Word to make a difference in your heart. That's the catalyst. The fear of God is the catalyst for spiritual growth. Do you fear God this morning? And how did I get there? It says, because do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we speak to the brother or our sister negatively, sarcastically, harshly, it hurts the heart of God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. He doesn't cast us down, but it grieves Him. And that alone should be the thing that put, I don't know about you, but it doesn't sit well for me to grieve my Heavenly Father, to grieve the Holy Spirit. And God in His mercy and His grace always forgives us. But may that be your motivator to watch what you speak. The grieving of the Holy Spirit. To know, right, when you enter into sin, and we think of other sins, we can list them, right? Wow, man, that must really, have you thought about your words grieving the Holy Spirit? So do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then we get another list. And this list is pretty intense. So we start off again, let no corrupt talk, and you think, oh yeah, it's no big deal, right? Paul comes in with some heavy hitters here. Some really, really deep words. So he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And see, he's still in this idea of our words. He's still talking about what we speak here. Because he started out, right? Let no unwholesome talk, let no corrupt talk come from your mouth. And he goes on, he didn't skip, because we'll see in a minute, he brings it back to our words. But I want to give you real quick some of the definitions of these words, or the depths of these. Anger, in this case, it's wrath. The feeling and expression of displeasure and hostility. That's pretty deep. And where does that usually come up? You ever get, you know what I'm usually harsh with my kids? When there's that little seed of anger for some reason or another, and then you just snap. Right? Been there? Amen to that? Right? And then you're like, oh. Right? But that's what anger, right? Our mouths just manifest our anger that we hold in when we snap or say that harsh word. Clamor, and that means verbal brawling. That sounds pretty intense, right? Maybe you argue. Maybe you come from a home and you go, you know, that's just how I was raised. You know, my parents all always screamed at each other. My grandparents, that's just a part of, no. You're set apart. You're new. Anyone who's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. So now your kids learn that behavior. Well, I guess that's just how it is. I mean, I know they're Christians, but I don't know. I guess you're supposed to argue. No, you're not supposed to argue. You're not supposed to verbal brawl with one another. That should not be in your home. It shouldn't be amongst the believers. And yet we do it. Right? Paul's calling us to a higher standard. A slander. This idea of slander or railing. Right? Railing another person. Speaking accusatorily against someone else. Right? Anyone know what the devil is called as far as accusing goes? He's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. And so if the enemy can work its way within the body of Christ, and we do it in the sake of conversation, in the sake of prayer. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear Mr. Jones? Yeah, you know, he's, I can't believe he did that. Did you hear what he did to his wife? We need to pray for him. Right? I just slandered my brother. Right? No, I didn't slander him. I was just sharing with another brother what was going on with another brother so we could pray for him. No, you cut him down. And you cut him down to another brother so that now you put a seed in his heart. It's like the yeast of the Pharisees. It just grows. And then all of a sudden I have this ill, Mr. Jones comes in the door. I'm like, oh, I can't believe this guy. Right? Been there? Plenty of times, too many to count. But we slander so often. It's so easy for us to just slander our brother or our sister for the sake of the benefit of the church. It's easy for us to slander our leaders when they don't do what we want them to do. God always calls us to a higher standard. We move on in this little list of words that Paul gives us. Malice is wickedness. Vicious character. So when we speak with malice, it speaks of a vicious character, of a wickedness that just doesn't belong in the heart or the mouth of the believer. And so these are just areas. We're not going to spend that much more time in those. But those are areas. It's always that heart check. Examine your heart to know if you are in the Lord. Right? And if your heart and your life and your words contain a lot of this stuff, well, it's time to repent. Right? We need to get before the Lord. Oh, God, forgive me. I didn't even realize. My hope this morning is that this is just that light bulb. Right? That's what God's word does. And sometimes he uses others to open our eyes. And my prayer, my hope is that this might be the thing that opened. Wow, I never even noticed. And that you would be repentful, that you would be sorrowful enough to go before the Lord and receive his grace. Pastor Nick mentioned about that throne of grace. That you would go boldly to the throne of grace. God, help me to change the way I speak. And so now we're going to move towards the replacement. So what do I replace all that with? What do I replace the malice and the clamor and the slander and the sarcasm? What do I do instead? Go with me to verse 31. Oh, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. Really hard to do. Right? Not so easy all the time. But let's take that verse backwards for a minute. It says, as Christ forgave you. Right? You heard it plenty of times, but how does the Lord treat us? How does he speak to us? How does he speak about us? Right? Does he hold our sins against us? As far as the east is from the west. Right? Always speaking life to us. And he disciplines those he loves, right? So there's correction from the hand of God, from the word of God. But he says, you know, the way I treat you is how you should treat other people. That same grace, that same mercy, that same kindness, that same gentleness that I give you all the time. There's a parable about that. I don't know if we talked about it in the parables. Don't have time to go there. I think actually Pastor John did that parable about the guy who was forgiven much. He had a great debt and he was forgiven, and then he went and he abused the man who had a debt to him. Right? And is that what we do? We receive the mercy and the grace of God. It's so good. And then we turn around and we lash out at our spouse or our kid. What's that about? It's a heart issue that God wants to do. It's trim work that God wants to get to. And be kind. You know, you think of kindness and you think of being kind. It's kind of one of those words. It's kind of hard to, it just defines itself. But that word kind there, where the corrupt word meant unfit for use, the word kind there in the Greek actually means fit for use. That's what that word means. So use words that are fit for use for building others up. Instead of the other, replace your words with ones that will be fit for use. That will be, because when you speak a kind word to someone, just in your tone alone, it begins to build up automatically. You ever been spoken, you remember that teacher or whatever that just had that kind voice? And as soon as they spoke, you just felt better, right? Speak words that are fit for use and tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. I tried to find the definition, and that one was kind of self-explanatory too. Tender-hearted. Just sweet. And you're like, oh, my God, I don't speak sweet. I can't really. Yes, you can. All things are possible. We sang it earlier, right? It doesn't mean your tone has, you have to talk like a girl, right? But you can speak kind. You can speak tender-heartedly to one another as a brother. David was a pretty intense man, right? He was a warrior, right? Slayed people, and which is why he wasn't able to build the temple, amongst other things, right? But man, you read the Psalms, what a tender heart that guy had. So man, there's no reason why you can't speak tender-heartedly to your wives and to your kids, to your friends. Because that's what we're called to do. To speak tender-hearted and forgiving one another. Do you this morning have something against somebody? This is a big one too. It could be a whole nother message and a whole nother thing. But are you holding on to a grudge? Has someone done something to you? Even maybe they're in this room. I know sometimes that happens. It's kind of sad, but like, you're sitting here and you're sitting there and you guys hate each other. Forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Right? Come, right? And the Bible even speaks about it. You can go to that person and ask forgiveness. If they don't forgive you, that's on them. That's between them and the Lord. But be clear. Don't carry that. Because that's just a room for the enemy to get in, to get a foothold. And you're not going to see God's blessing in your life. He's going to hold back from what he wants to do. There's power in forgiveness. And so in closing, if you would go with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll wrap this up. Paul kind of sums it up. And again, if you haven't heard it, you know, the heart of this heart of this message, and as I said earlier, this is really was, God was like, I'm going to give you a message. I'm going to work in your heart and mess you up and do some serious trim work in you because you need it badly. And then you can just share what God's doing in your heart with everybody else in hopes that they'll be encouraged and challenged as well. So this message is very much God dealing in me. And so Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16 says this. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I'm going to read that one again. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so when we let the word of Christ dwell in us, you know, are you in the word regularly? What do you listen to on your drive to work? What do you listen to when you come home? What do you watch on the TV? What are you filling your mind with, your heart with? Because from the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Let the word of God dwell in your heart, so that it might rule in your heart, so that when you speak life. You pray with me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace. Oh God, we thank you so much that you speak kindly to us. Yet when we were still sinners, you loved us, you died for us, you came for us. Oh God, you speak over us life and forgiveness and grace and mercy. You call us your own. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in those of us who know you. And you do call us to higher living. You call us to get rid of all the junk. But we know, Lord, we admit this morning we can't do it apart from you. So Holy Spirit, would you fall fresh on us today? God, that you would remove the corrupt and unwholesome talk from our mouths. God, that you would replace it with those words that would build one another up. God, that we would seek opportunity to speak a word of life to those around us. That we would become those fountains of living water to those around us. Oh God, help us. And may it all be for your glory. God, may it be all for the name of Jesus, that people might see us and hear us and want you. And so we thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray as we go that your word would not leave our hearts, but it would work in us, each one. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If anyone needs prayer for anything, we're more than happy to pray for you.